Once you were assistant superintendent after that, right?
Well, in 1965, the federal government passed what we then called ESEA, which was an educational appropriation for disadvantaged children all over the United States. And the superintendent called the principal's meeting and says, this was in the 1st of December, in 1965. And says, this has been available to us. I haven't asked him because I don't know what to do with it. He was a good man, but he was not an innovative education man. He was very good with making the dollar stretch a long way. But he couldn't write. And he said, I don't know what to do. Well, he told us the first time I'd heard it before. And we had $333,000 available if we could write a program that would merit our getting the money. And my friend at Blunsville, who was personal there, came down Monday morning and says, if you don't write that program, nobody will. And I guess I thought he was bragging on me. And I said, let's just go talk to the superintendent. So we got into his car, went on the island, and I told the superintendent, I said, you want me to write it for you? He said, with tears in his eyes, actually. He said, if you would, I said, I'll do it. Well, I worked day and night. I worked times. I worked all night and didn't turn the light off on weekends. And in 3 weeks, the day I started, we got approval from Washington of our program. And I became the coordinator of the program from my school. So I became what was called assistant superintendent, even though I was principal of high school. And I did that for 4 years. So at the end of 4 years, the federal government said that nobody could be paid with federal money who had a state job. So I had to either say I'm going to be principal or I'm going to be federal coordinator. So I took the federal coordinator job.
And
assistant superintendent.
During that same time, the integration was implemented, wasn't it?
Yes, we had what was called 44B, which says that no federal money will be appropriated to any system that practices discrimination, that discriminates against the black. That was in 1968. It came to a head sometime in the spring of 68, because in the meantime, they had, the Washington Office of Education had sent two people, a white male and a black female, and I'm sure they were nice people. They treated me well, and they went over the county, and we had one black school in the western part of the county, and we had 72 students in grades 1 through 12, six teachers, and I had built and put in under the federal program a great deal of stuff over there, because I enjoyed working with those children. And they appreciated so much.
Because
they were sort of orphan children. And I did a lot on the federal program for them. But in 68, the Office of Education sent these people down, and when they went back, what they told, I guess the truth, we had to shut them, supposedly equal, and it had been ruled that this wasn't proper. And we still had the separate facilities. And so the Office of Education brought suit against us to force us to integrate. And the Justice Department went in with the Office of Education. And we got a notice last of April that we were due in court in Washington. Well, the superintendent, Mr. Blandwood's father, was seriously ill. And I was worried about his going, because he wasn't as quick on the draw as I was in if they threw something at him. And I didn't tell him this. I only said that if you don't want to leave your father, I'll go for you.
And let him get out.
He graciously let me go to Washington. And so, Chairman of the Board of Education and our board lawyer and I flew to Washington. And Representative Tom Babel met us at the airport, carried us to our Holiday Inn, had a room for us, did everything he could, and warned me that Office of Education people were going to put me on the stand to start with. And he says, they will work you over. Well, it bothers me some, because I no way could we fail to be guilty. A neighboring county of ours had already been under the gun, and they were put on the quota system, where every faculty had to be had to have at least one black faculty member, even though there were only two faculty members in the school. And every school had to have a black student if they had to transport them across the county. Well, I thought this was unnecessary even for the black children. That wasn't fair to them. And I didn't want that.
Well, anyway, do you want them to go to the school closest to the home?
We went to the court room, and the judge was a man from Virginia. And he's a very fine man, Judge Siegel. And I'll never forget him. He was a kind and very, very intelligent man. And he says to me, would you like to go into a negotiating conference? Everything except the fact it's not the court. We won't have witnesses. We won't call. He says, we will talk man to man. And I'll ask the questions instead of a lawyer. Well, the lawyer for the Justice Department and the lawyer for the Education Department wasn't too pleased, but he insisted, and it pleased me. So we did. We went through the morning session, and the lawyer for the Office of Education was not a smart man, because he was too critical of the procedure, and he tried to tell the judge what to do, and the judge was very much a judge. Nobody told him what to do.
Yeah.
And he finally told this young man, said, if you don't quit asking foolish questions, I'm going to close this hearing, and we'll go to Blunt County, Alabama next fall, and I'll find out who's telling a lie, and I don't think it's this man, he says it's me. Well, that cooled the young man, and I told him that we would integrate. I said, the law says that we should, and I said, we are not going to disobey a law in America. I said, we teach what's right. We can't do opposite.
Right.
He said, I appreciate that. I said, well, there's no, I could have told you on telephone this, but I said, there's some things that we need to talk about. He said, what things? And the Office of Education man says, we don't compromise. the judge told him, he said, it's my court, and I'm running this court. And of course, I was pleased with any help I could get. The judge says, Mr. Collier, what things do you have in mind? I said, I have three things. I said, these gentlemen are their people. And I said, it's always off the education, not the Justice Department. The Justice Department lawyer was the five men down. But I said, the Office of Education call us on the telephone and do everything except call us bad names. I said, we're a scum of the earth. And we can't do anything about it because it's not in writing. We have no witnesses. If they would write me a letter like they have said on the telephone, I said, I might have something.
Yeah.
As evidence. But I said, they don't. And I want this proceeding in writing so that we'll have the evidence. He said, I put all of my proceedings in writing. He said, you'll get it in writing. He said, what else? I said, I'm a very well acquainted with those black students. And I said, they're friends of mine. And I said, the people are too. I said, I've been to their faculty meetings, their PTA meetings. And I said, we're good friends. And they're begging me not to do anything that will hurt them. And I said, I have promised them that their children will not be sent 100 miles away if I can help them. I said, I want those children to go to the school nearest their home. He said, you're getting it. And he said, what else? I said, those black students need their teachers with them in the school. And I said, I want those, one teacher was retired, and the other five, I said, I want them placed in the school. They're only two near their home. I want those black faculty members put in the schools where these children enroll. He said, that's reasonable. I'll do it. And since we got that in writing, and it's in the office now, somewhere, those children integrated, and I got one call one day from one of the schools. The principal said, please come over here. We got a problem. I said, what is it? He said, well, a little black boy beat up a white boy. So I got in the car, and here I went. And I was worried. And got there. They had the little, they had both of them. And I said, would you boys just tell me what happened? And the little white boy says, he beat me up. And they were about the same size. The little black boy just whipped him. I said, son, to the black boy, I said, son. He said, Mr. Carter, I don't think he did right. I said, what did he do? He said, well, he said something ugly to a little girl. I said, was it a black girl? He said, no. Said the front girl, but I heard him. And he said it was ugly. And I whipped him. I turned to the little white boy. I said, son, is that the truth? He said, yes, sir. I said, are you going to talk ugly again? He said, no, sir. I said, are you satisfied? I said, you did wrong, didn't you? He said, yes, sir. I said, why then are you concerned? He said, well, my mouth says it. The principal stopped us and probably. He said, I'm satisfied if we just leave it. I said, fine. And there was nothing else to say.